very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 18 October 2022, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, page 372. Namo Bhansu Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansu Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansu Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mila Pho, Namo Mila Pho, Namo Mila Pho, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dvitiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dvitiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dvitiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadang Mani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kame su mijajara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya bhajapamadatana Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. We'll continue with our puja chanting. Turn to page 3. Page 3 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Padipa Puja onward. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina ติโลกาติปังสัมปุนังปูจายามิธัมโมนุทังกันดาสัมบารยุทเทนะโตเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูจายะปูจานิยังตังปูจาบาจานะโมตัมังวันนะกันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสะสีปัดสโรโรเหปูเจมิปุตังกสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังมาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโภชนังปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาทิกังหาตุมุตตมังโอเค now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings.Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance day. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma.That cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate samadhi and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the boundary nirvana, making of overall aspiration. By the powers of all these merits born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become bars or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Jam. Badang Pujayani.Dhammang Pujayani. Saham Pujin. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax and maintain body and mind in a relaxed state of awareness. Then we'll off the light and we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay. So remember the four support, especially the first three. First is to relax entirely your body and mind, be at ease. Relax into whatever mind state that arises. Anywhere where there is tension, tightness, or stress within, we just relax into it. Okay. After that, we just silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do, just maintain awareness. Away within. Then the third support is to sustain or maintain this awareness for as long as we can. Okay, y'all can slowly, my boy, come out of meditation and try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. For as long as you can. Okay, now we'll turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We'll do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalesu Atragachantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bija Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhitiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pajata Veditabo Enohiti Rupatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sāngo Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Saukkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisayukane Atta Purisapugala Esa Bhagavato Saukkasangho Ahuneyo Bahuneyo Dattineyo Anjali Karaneyo Nuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, here you can be seated. So we will continue from where we stopped, the page 372 on her copy here. Okay, we stop at the place where the word stop. Okay, the actual place of stopping, the explanation. Okay, we all go to the commentary. So as we end that part, the commentary mentioned, today we will stop at the word stop. If the Buddha himself says stop, how can I continue? So I will not speak either. Tomorrow though, we are going to discuss the most important part of the sutta, the 10 suchness. Suchness means atata, the reality or the very special significance of suchness. Since it is such an important passage, I'm going to discuss it today. So this is by Xuanhua. You can wait nervously for a night, and I will tell you tomorrow. Okay, so the sutta partner. Sariputta, there is no need to speak further. Why is this so? As to that foremost, rare and hard to understand Dhamma accomplished by the Buddha, only the Buddhas and the Buddha can exhaust the real mark of all Dhammas. That is to say, with regards to all Dhammas, the suchness of the marks, the suchness of the nature, the suchness of the substance, the suchness of the power, the suchness of the function, the suchness of the causes, the suchness of the conditions, the suchness of the effect, the suchness of the retribution, and the suchness of the ultimate equality from beginning to end. Okay. Then there is this commentary partner, the reason for stopping. Okay. So commentary says stop, says Sakyamuni Buddha, or says this means that the Buddha did not want to speak the flower, the Dhamma Flower Sutta. Why not? It was to be feared that if he spoke it, people would not believe it. What is more, they might slander it and thereby create limitless negativity or karma. So the Buddha, though not so sorry, I'm reading it. So the Buddha thought not to speak it. He said, I'm not going to speak it. Then the Sutta, Sariputta, there is no need to speak further. Meaning, I don't want to continue speaking the sutta. Why is this so? As to that form of rare and hard to understand Dhamma accomplished by the Buddha. So this part is a Sutapana, the meaning is as to the foremost, number one Dhamma, which the Buddha cultivated and accomplished, is the non-dual Dhamma Dao. Non-dual Dhamma Dao is not two. It transcends the relative or duality. Rare means it has appeared very, very rarely. Why is it hard to understand? It is because it is extremely profound. This Dhamma is foremost, rare, and hard to understand. So that is the meaning. Eh? Then the Sutta say only the Buddhas and the Buddha can exhaust the real mark of all Dhamma. That is, only the Buddhas of the Ten Directions and Sakyamuni Buddha can truly exhaust the real mark of all Dhamma. Only the Buddha can be clear about the real mark of all Dhammas. The real mark is unmarked, and yet there is nothing not marked with it. So this is the uniqueness and the rareness of this style of teaching. He can use words, but words are just limited and can't really express what the meaning is. But when we use word, for those who understand, that is very beautiful. But for those who don't understand, it may sound like very strange and very contradictory. But in this case, for those who understand, they will know why the real mark is unmarked. Appear very contradictory. And yet there is nothing not marked with it. So if you believe this statement or this sentence is contradictory, then you are using your mundane mind to try to understand it. Because when we talk about marks, we talk about all these existential things. So to the enlightened being, to the Samasa Buddha who had the understanding, all these are marks. But the mark, they arise from the unmarked. That's why the real mark is the unmarked. And yet, there is nothing unmarked with it. So for those who understand, they will understand. Because one is talking about from that true nature, the understanding of all these existential dhammas or reality. Yeah. Then we go to the next part of the sutta. That is to say, with regards to all dhamma, meaning in general, all dhamma do not go beyond the 10 sashnas. To speak in terms of the 10 Dhamma rhyme, there are 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the Buddha. 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the Bodhisattva. 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the conditioned enlightened one. And 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the sound hearer. There are also 10 sashnas in the rhyme of all the gods or heavens, and there are also 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the humans, 10 sashnas in the rhyme of all the asuras, similarly 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the animals or animal rhymes, then 10 sashnas in the rhyme of the hell, and 10 sashnas. How come repeat the animal again? Oh, they must have spelling error. It should be animal rhyme first, eh? Then hungry ghost, then rhyme of the health. Eh? So the 10 sashnas in each of the 10 rhymes makes 10 times 10, 100 rhymes. In each of the 100 rhymes, there are also 10 suchness, making 1,000 suchness. I'm explaining this to you very generally because this is the first time you have heard it, and so you probably will not understand it too well. But if you hear it once, then the second and third time you hear it, you may be able to understand it better. Why? Why don't you understand it? Because it is the first time you have heard the sutta and you hear all this. Suchness, suchness. Such a lot of them. You do not understand them. However, the essential meaning of the Dhamma Flower Sutta is right here in the 10 suchness. Although you cannot fully understand it, you should pay special attention to it. Now I will explain the 10 suchness. The word suchness in Chinese is composed of two characters, zu or ru. The meaning is like, yeah? And si. Si is it is. Yeah? So suchness means thus it is. That's why in the Theravada Sutta is always pronounced as thus have I heard. Yeah? So this one is suchness, thus. Thus is a word that points to the Dhamma. It means that we are speaking of this Dhamma. The suchness of the muck. What is a muck? It is very simple, very easy to understand. It is an appearance. But an appearance may be true or false. What is a true muck? That is also very easy to understand. It is permanent and unchanging. The permanent is the true appearance. It is, as the Surangama Sutta states, the permanently abiding true heart, the bright substance of the all pure nature. Permanent means it does not change. It is unchanging and yet it echoes with condition. It echoes with condition and yet it does not change. It is not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, not increased and not decreased. If I say too much, it is of no use. I'm just explaining it in terms that are readily understandable. It is simply the real mark of true suchness and is also called the permanent. The real mark of true suchness is not something everyone can understand. And so the text said, only the Buddha and the Buddha can exhaust the real mark of all dhammas. This refers to the suchness of mark, the true mark. What is it? I think you can probably understand it somehow or someone. There is also the false marks. That is something that you are also very familiar with. You all know your friend, your old friend. Who is it? Ignorant, avijja. Do you recognize it? Do you understand the term? It is nothing new. I've been lecturing the sutta for so long. And I often bring it up. Ignorant is an important character. It's like the leading character in a play. No doubt you are all familiar with it. Ignorant is just a false mark. It is not true. And so it is a subject. So it is subject to production, extinction, sanmiya, increase, decrease, defilements, purity, and so on. Ignorance is empty and false. It has no real substance. It is only a name and corresponds to nothing in reality. It cannot be grasped or seen. It causes us to undergo birth, old age, sickness, and death, giving rise to worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and misery. In the fire of the three realms of all living beings, they are burning. It's like being burned in fire or boiled in water. That difficult to undergo. The thus come one, the Sakyamuni Buddha, has genuine wisdom. And he knew about these problems. He made no mistake in teaching living beings. Not be mistaken is just the true and real, in accord with principles. In accord with principle, it is the real or the true real doctrine. It is most reasonable, and so it is termed the suchness of the monk. The suchness of the monk has two aspects of true and false, because the Buddha taught them. We are able to hear this wonderful Dhamma. As the verse earlier on in the text say, the real meaning of all Dhammas, I have already expounded for all heroes. Now to explain the suchness of nature. The nature has the aspect of good and evil. There is good and evil karma, which is the manifestation of the good and evil of the nature. Karma does not arise by itself, however. How does it come into existence? It is produced from the nature. The nature may manifest as good and evil. Sorry, as good or evil. In China, there is a short word called the three characteristic. Oh, sorry, the three character classic. When children start school, it is the first thing they must learn to recite. It begins. When people are born, their nature are basically good. When we are born, our nature are good to begin with. That original nature is the Buddha nature. However, the nature is near. But habit leads it afar. The nature is basically very near the Buddha nature. Corrupted by evil habits, it grows far away from the Buddha nature. This means that within our heart, there are both good and evil. How do they manifest? At any given time, causes and conditions of different kinds will produce a good or evil nature. For example, bamboo and wood are both flammable. That is, they possess the nature of fire. If you just let them sit there, however, they will not catch on fire. You have to add a condition, a drill or a stick, or maybe a match to get the fire started. Wood and bamboo both possess the nature of fire, but if one sets them on fire, they will not burn. Oh, sorry, but if no one sets them on fire, they will not burn. Without the necessity or necessary causes and condition, fire will not come out or will not come forth. For example, before the time of the ruler Sui Renzi, people in China devoured animals raw and drank their blood, much the way tiger do. Whatever wild creature they caught, they would bite, chew, and eat raw, and then finish off the feast by drinking their blood. The reason they ate everything raw was that fire has not been discovered yet. It was not until the time of Sui Ren Si that people learned how to drill wood, to make fire, and to cook their food. In the same way, the good and evil karma that we create dependent upon our nature to come forth. The coming forth of our nature may be for the sake of goodness, in which case it is called wisdom light. When you do good deeds, you shine with wisdom light. Wisdom light accomplishes all kinds of wholesome acts. When the nature comes forth for the sake of evil, it is called poisonous fire. An accomplishment by means of it are what is meant by false condition. Our nature are basically empty and still basically non-existent, like the nature of fire present in the bamboo or wood. They have to be set on fire. They were not burned by themselves. Our nature are basically empty, and all the good and evil are within them. They manifest only when conditions allow. It is much like the nature of fire as discussed in the Surangama Sutta, where it says the nature of fire has no self. It depends on condition. The fire nature has no self. Fire arises only when the causes and condition comes together. That is the teachings or the doctrine or suchness of the nature. And the next one is the suchness of the substance. The substance refers to all bodies and all material objects. There are three categories of substance. The first is the substance of common people and the sage. Originally, they are completely equal. The substance is without the common or the sage. This is to take the principle as the substance. The principle means the inherent Buddha nature. Secondly, people may cultivate from the position of a common person and accomplish their way, karma. This is the non-outflow substance which those who are certified to the fruit possess. Thirdly, common people have the illusionary shell of the five skandhas, which unites with the four elements to become a body. A substance that has outflow. Then the next one is the suchness of the power. Power here refers to karmic power. I told you before that I had a left home Dhamma brother who had studied the doctrine of lecturing on the sutta. He was always giving lectures. What is more is that he liked to lecture on the eight consciousness. According to the Chinese custom, to celebrate the new year, one writes character on red paper and put them on the wall for good luck. The idea is that the letter written with the brush will keep the ghosts and demons away. That year, I wrote some characters and said, wisdom like the sea. My Dhamma brother watched me write the character. I wrote them very quickly in cursive style, and he likes them. He started saying, wisdom like the sea, wisdom like the sea, wisdom like the sea, over and over again. I said, it looks to me that your karma power is like the sea. He was outraged. Ha, he stumped. What do you mean? My karma power is like the sea. Here it is New Year and you are insulting me. I said, now, don't you get mad. I guarantee you are going to like it. You will be happy. You tell me that my karma power is like the sea and I supposed to like it? I say, as to karma power, there is good karma and there is bad karma. If I say your good karma power are like the sea, how would that strike you? Then he stared at me. What can I say? He said, and grasped my hand. He did not get angry anymore. So it only took the additional one word, good karma, like the sea, to make his anger completely disappear. One knows what. One knows not where it went, but it was gone at once. Would you say this was wonderful or not? One word was all it took. Therefore, one word can be unspeakably wonderful, but you must know how to use it. If you know how to use it, it will be wonderful. If you do not know how to use it, you will run into trouble. Therefore, power here refers to the power of karma. Karma has a substance. From that substance, a power or force is derived, which operates the ten dharmarayams, creating the dependent and orthodox retribution world. What is the dependent retribution world? It is the mountain, the river, the earth, houses, vegetation, and the Maya appearances. The orthodox retribution world is all living beings. Where do the two words come from? They are both created from karmic power. So, it says the suchness of the power. Then the next one is the suchness of function, of the function. Function means to do, to make, to perform. To do what? To make what? To make karma. Making karma, one may make good or evil karma. Creating karma, one must undergo the retribution. If you plant a good cause, you will reap a good fruit. If you plant an evil cause, you will reap the evil fruits. You do good deeds, you receive good retribution. If you do evil act, you receive an evil retribution. Therefore, it is all what you make it. Good and evil are different roads. You can cultivate or you can commit offenses. So here the two words are very good. Eh? One is to cultivate, the other one is to commit offenses. Eh? Cultivate means cultivate the wholesomeness, the goodness, the wisdom. Commit means to commit to evil or to do evil. The suchness of the function refer to doing good and receiving blessings, or doing evil and receiving misfortune. So both are function. That's why the duality within each and every of these suchness. Then when you can transcend them, that is the ultimate suchness understanding. Then the next one is the suchness of causes. A cause refers to the mind of all living beings. The mind may be likened to the beast, to a piece of ground. All good and evil are manifest only from the mind. They manifest from your mind. And so previously we spoke of the cause as a seed. The seed is planted in your mind, and so it is called the mind ground. All the grasses, The trees are born from earth, and all good and evil from the mind ground. All the seeds of good and evil planted in your mind are the causes. So the suchness of causes has been explained. Eh? Then the suchness of the conditions. There are two factors that go into making up the conditions. The first is a factor of time. The second is a factor of the situation. The condition itself is basically devoid of good and evil. But it must be present. It must be present. Oh, sorry, it must be present for particular appearances to manifest. It must be present, yeah. This may be compared to something which is withered and dry, and which ignite at the first spark. The spark is the added or aiding condition. It may also be likened to ice which melts when the sun shines on it. The colder it gets, the harder the ice freezes. But when the sun shines, the ice will melt. When you plant a seed in the earth, if the conditions are not right, it will not come out or sprout. If you plant the seed on ice, it will not sprout. If you plant it in fire, it will not grow either. You have to plant it in the ground and then make sure the sun shines on it and there is enough moisture, say from the rain falling on it. These are all conditions. They come together and help the seed to grow. Means to give rise to the causes and conditions for it to grow. Then the next one is the suchness of effect. To start out on a course of action is called a cause. If you do something at the very beginning, it is a cause. When the matter has been successfully completed, the completed matter is the effect. The effect is also spoken of in terms of good and evil. Good and evil effect come from good and evil causes, respectively. It is said carrying the causes, one realizes the effect. That's why there is such thing as the nature's law of cause and effect. Then the next one is the suchness of retribution. Retribution is a complex. Sorry, retribution is the complex of effects incurred as a result of the karma you have created. According to the type of karma you create, you undergo just that kind of retribution. You may ask, what is the difference then between the effect and the retribution? The effect takes place before the retribution is undergone. It is the immediate consequence. One undergoes retribution when the effect has been broken through and one receives recompense. If you plant an evil cause, you reap the effect. Later, you receive the retribution. What is meant by the effect? If we create all kinds of evil karma and fall into hell, that is the attainment of the effect of hell. Once you are in the pot, you are undergoing retribution. Receiving the torment of hell is retribution. If you enlighten to the principle of retribution, you can certify to the position of the four sage divine, the right Mata Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, the sound hearer, and the conditioned enlightened one. If you awaken, you can hope to attain the four sage position. If you are confused, deluded, you will bring the retribution of the common rhyme, down upon yourself and end up among the gods, humans, asura, hell rhymes, hungry ghosts, or animal rhymes. Then the next part of the sutta is the suchness of the ultimate equality from beginning to the end. In the above mentioned suchness, there are the two paths of confusion and enlightenment. Whether you are confused or enlightened from the beginning to the very end, the first through the nine, when discussed in terms of cause and effect, they are non-dual and ultimately equal. The ten suchness are present in the Buddha Rhyme, but they are very fine and very special states. In the hells, there are also ten suchness, but they are nothing at all like the Buddha Rhyme states. They are very bad. They are not superior and fine. In fact, they are terrible. The ten suchness exists in each of the ten Dhamma rhymes, makes the hundred rhymes. The ten suchness then exists in each of the hundred rhymes that makes a thousand suchness. This is known as hundred rhymes and the thousand suchness. The hundred and the thousand suchness include all of the various situations in the ten Dhamma rhyme. The Dhamma Flower Sutta lists the ten suchness, and also I have explained them. I believe you probably do not understand them fully. If you truly wish to understand them, you will have to work hard or harder in your investigation of the Buddha Dhamma. After you have investigated it for a long time, you will naturally be able to understand these teachings or doctrine. Okay, the next part, Sutta. At that time, the world honored one, wishing to restate his meaning, spoke verses saying, "Illimitable are the heroes of the world. All the gods and people in the world, and all the causes of living beings, cannot know the Buddha. The Buddha's power, fearlessness, liberation, and samadhi, and other dhammas of the Buddhas, can be fathomed by no one. Formerly, following countless Buddhas, I perfectly walk all the path of the wonderful Dhamma, subtle and deep, hard to see and hard to understand. Through limitless millions of aeons, I walk down all this path. In the Bodhi Mandala, I realize the fruit and have fully known and seen it all." So this is a sutta path. Then there is the outline title. First is a sutta verse and praising the two wisdom. Then after that, praising both type of wisdom of all Buddha and Sakyamuni Buddha. Okay, we go to the commentaries. Illimitable are the heroes of the world. So this is the first line of the sutta. The Buddha possesses great heroism, great strength, great kindness, great compassion. No one can measure the states of the Buddha. That's why they use the word illimitable. Then all gods and people in the world and all the classes of living beings cannot know the Buddha. Meaning there is not a single living being that can understand the rhyme of the Buddha, that can understand the spiritual power and wonderful function of the Buddha. Then the next part of the sutta is, The Buddha's power, fearlessness, liberation and samadhi, and other Dhamma of the Buddha can be fathomed by no one, meaning the Buddha has 10 wisdom powers, 4 fearlessness, 8 liberation, and countless samadhis. There is not anyone who can fathom all the wonderful Dhammas of the Buddha. Then there is the other Sutapa, formerly following countless Buddha, meaning formerly here means in the course of ground limitless eons ago. Then the Sutta continues, I perfectly walk all the path, meaning I cultivated all the Dhamma doors of the wonderful Dhamma, subtle and deep. The Dhamma is extremely subtle and profound. How deep is it? Hard to see and hard to understand. I think somebody's mind is on. If you go check on video, mute it. Okay, already muted. We go back to the area. I read again. Formerly following countless Buddha means formerly means very long time ago, in the course of ground, limitless eons ago. I perfectly walk all the path. I cultivated all the Dhamma doors. Then the Sutta part is of the wonderful Dhamma, subtle and deep, meaning he has cultivated and walked the path of all the Dhamma, which is extremely subtle and profound. How deep is it? No one knows. Hard to see and hard to understand, the Sutta said. Meaning this Dhamma is difficult to encounter in 100,000 eons. It is difficult to understand. And so the four vows vow runs. So these are the four basic vows of the Bodhisattvas. Living beings are boundless. I vow to save them all. Afflictions are endless, I vow to sever them all. Dhamma doors are limitless, I vow to master them all. The Buddha's way is supreme, I vow to realize it. So essentially it's the four basic vows to walk the path of the Bodhisattvas. In the course of ground, the Buddha make these four vast basic vows in every life and cultivated the way. So the emphasis is to be a Sammasambuddha, you have to make these four basic vows in every life and cultivate the way. The Dhamma that he realized is not easy to understand because the four basic vows set the basis for that extensive cultivation. Then the next part of the sutta. Two limitless millions of aeons, I walked down all this path, meaning I cultivated the 37 factors of enlightenment. They are the five roots, the five powers, the four application of mindfulness, the four right effort, the four S, you were fulfillment, and the seven bodhisattvas. Means the seven factors of enlightenment and the eightfold path. That's 37. You can also include the four number truth, the 12 causes and conditions, the six perfection, and the 10,000 conducts. And the next part of the sutta. In the Bodhi mandala, I realize the fruit. Because I cultivated all this Dhamma in the Bodhi mandala. Sakyamuni Buddha said, I realized Buddha one. Then the next part of the sutta. And have fully known and seen it all. Meaning, I have seen it all. I have seen all there is to be seen. And I know all that is to be known. So that completes that part. Okay, I think we will stop here. Okay, so we'll continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, the teaching, and also how to apply this teaching so that we can use it, apply it, to develop the understanding of life. And the third possibility is to share whatever understanding that we have developed after we have gone through the cultivation in Dhamma in daily life. So all these are the three things that you can do during the second session. Reporting meditation is also very useful, so that we can have a more clearer understanding of the cultivation. And when you ask whatever question related to meditation, or even from your sharing, I can actually, based on my understanding, help cultivators of the way to develop a deeper understanding of the cultivation. And unless people share or express their meditative experience, my nature cannot help you, because unless there are causes and conditions like what we go through just now. So this particular section of the sutta that we just finished is very profound, very deep. They call it the 10 sutras within the 10 dhammarai. Then of course there are a lot of subdivision and explanation. But all this is pointing out to one thing, that the cultivation to be Sammasambuddha is very, very extensive, take very, very long. That's why the four basic vow. Where these vow are so extensive, living beings are limitless. We vow to take them all across. That itself is very extensive. Then affliction are also limitless. We vow to sever them or abandon them. Means you must have that wisdom, that understanding to endure, abandon, and sever. Means to renounce all Dhamma. If you cannot renounce all Dhamma, you will be caught. You will get into trouble. That's why patient endurance is very extensive. That is the real renunciation, not just about renouncing the world to go for to become a monk. That is just one aspect of renunciation, which is also very noble. But to have the understanding and the perfection of all the wisdom to renounce all dhammas is the ultimate wisdom or realization of the practice or the cultivation. Then after that, Dhamma Dhammas are limitless, wisdom are limitless. You vow to perfect them all, the perfection of wisdom. Or that one, if you can do it, it would have actually transformed your nature into something that is really, really incredible. That's why Prajna Paramita Sutta, the sutta on the perfection of wisdom, Paramita means all of the perfection. Then finally, of course, to realize Sammasambuddha with nature. So these four basic vows, they are the basis or the foundation for cultivators of the way, who goes the way of the Buddha, to realize and perfect those cultivation leading to that very, very supreme nature, which is difficult to comprehend. So all this explained very beautifully. in the sutta. So like I said, unless you arise a causal same condition, this nature cannot actually share. But when there are causes and conditions, like through your reporting, through your questions, through your whatever sharing, all this can bring forth the causes and conditions for all the understanding to unfold. That's why we need all cultivators of the way to understand this, so that you are not trapped in the thought process. Because the thought always create this, what they call delusion in the individual. And most people are caught at the thought that actually they're not speak up, they're not share. How can word is I say means what? Dire. Who is dire? I always say, it's the thought that is I. Your nature is beautiful. Your nature actually, when it's shining forth, it is the original nature that is perfect. But like the sutta say, because of avijja, ignorance, because of habitual tendency, habits, it starts to fall. Then it starts to cloud that nature. Then over long periods of eons and eons and eons of birth and death, you become living beings with delusions that entangle yourself in samsara. Then you create all this multitude of coming repercussion and responses, and then from there you try to search for the answer to understand all this and to reverse all this. Is really amazing. Unless you have the causes and conditions to cultivate the bodhisattva way leading to samasambuddhahood, it's near impossible to understand all this and to develop all this. So all these are beautiful. Okay.
Good evening, Brother Chiu, Mr. Siu, Sui, and all Kayamitas. Brother Chiu, 刚才你讲那个死如是, 我很多的法喜在里面。
Yeah, yeah, Sadhu. Oh, very good.
一直在。
Yeah.
接下来我想分享的是 Dharma in daily life. 最近我看到我自己的所有的 defilement.
Very good. That is what cultivation
yes.
is. Yeah.
记得 Bradio 上个星期讲 Don't be complacent where
PG start to share那个
I reflected on it and 发觉到 actually 我自己知道 因为最近很多的时候会有那个 react to sense
don't yeah, 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 know, yeah.
而且讲话有时候会比较没有那么的细 你会知道你的话里面好像有
下一次这样会刺到人这样子，然后我就觉得，哎，这样子是不对的。然后就多一点观自己的哈。然后就一直，他就是一直
condition 你 back to 你的 habitual 这样。然后呢，说他就一直，哎，但我讲，哎，这样子是不对的哦。然后我有一天的。 I mean, as I was doing some work, then 他就说, 那个 message 就说, 六祖坛经里面讲的, 若真修道人, 不见世间过, 其实那个所谓的, 我们所看到的, 我们要 comment 的, 或者我们要讲的, 是因为我们自己的 delusion 啊, 还是所谓的 ignorant 的要去, comment 还是要说三刀是这样，是非常的不对的。然后在有一天的早上，我要去 Karak Farm 的时候，他就 manifest 说离道心，就说你已经离开那个道了，
对，
已经不再八正道里，所以我就啊，就忽然间 like no suddenly So it's like a kind of realization for
yeah,
me
yeah,
to
yeah.
know that
that
I
is a very
yeah,
important self
self-check,
self-check,
suddenly like
the world call it reforming yourself means because recently China they have their 20th 5-year plan. Yeah. So this 20-year 5-year plan, which it marks the history of China's reform for the last 100 years to make them what they are. So as we all know, China is a single party system. They follow what they call the self-reform type of system. Means no two-party system, not like the Western democracy where there are two-party system or multi-party system where one of them like check and balance to control the other one, understand not? So this is called check and balance. Then they have to reform, because every time people point out your mistake, if you don't reform, they change government. But China's this particular democracy, in the name of democracy, they use the word self-reforming. Means like our cultivation. That's why it's very beautiful. When you can go through what you have gone through, Alicia, that part is the very much more refined type of cultivation, really. Ability to see our own subtle defilement, then what you came to understand is very good. When you start to realize that after a while, after you believe you have the understandings, there is so much joy, you control all these phases, then suddenly that complacency also can set in. But in your case, it's not the gross one, like normal people after a while, they thought they know already, then they neglect, then they do the complacency, then they fall back very fast, and they want very difficult to come back. But for your case, it's different. You are still cultivating. But at certain stage, because of that hardness of understanding and joy, it will lead to like what you described, where you can have the mindfulness to see, you realize you are not as focused and as thorough as when you were initially with all the spiritual faculty driving you to cultivate that time. Then you're very meticulous. Everything is done very well and very clear. But later on, as that what they call it mana, the minor conceit or minor conceit leading to some form of complacency, but very minor, very subtle. So that one was set in. So when it's set in, then you realize you are no longer within the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. And that one is very important. Because you have starts to neglect, but not in a serious way, in a subtle way. Because this is the refinement part. The refinement part is very important. This refinement is when you cultivate until that level of refinement ready, you need to further refinement. Actually, the focus need to be more meticulous on. Otherwise, you will debate very fast. Like the word you use, which is very appropriate. You are dwelling, like starts to dwell on certain things that are not that important anymore, and it's no longer like you can have the I call it the refinement of wisdom that enable you to see so clearly that straight away you will not continue, you will just stop. Because sometimes we reach a point, a phase where we are too eager to help people, too eager to share certain things and too eager to explain certain things. That itself is also a, I don't call it a complacency. It's not a complacency, it's a, like, when you cultivate until that level already, you are not careful, then you like, the so-called goodness actually draw you, like, too eager to help, too eager to explain and all. You will come to realize at one point, I remember in the early days, because you will come to this realization, unless there is causes and conditions for people to understand, you will not interfere. That's enough. You will not continue with all the, there's no point. Living beings are just living beings, not what you think. It's just like the suchness of all these things. Without causes and conditions, nothing manifests. It's not because they want to be like that or what. Then it's not that when we continue to apply that type of understanding and wisdom that he can no. When he is not ready, he is not ready. When there is no condition, there is no condition. Who also no point on. So na ituan, that phase which you are going through is very beautiful. Then self-reforming is like when you see you are not that focused like before, then you have to determine to continue. That's like that one is actually not easy. Not easy. In fact, a lot of cultivators, as they go through the cultivation, they encounter a lot of these things, then they fall. Then they come back again. They fall, then they come back again. Because the perfection of that, the refinement of that, is actually not easy. I like the China system is because that self-reforming system that they established for themselves is very elaborate. They not only like one person decide, no. It's like the whole country, they try to like get everybody to involve themselves in nation building. Despite the vastness of the population, 1.3 or 1.4 million, then they got the main ethnic group, then they got the minority ethnic group and all that. Then they actually has this, what they call, one-party system. In fact, out of the 1.4 billion, I think the membership of the Communist Party of China, CPC, they call it, is almost, I think, 90 over million, almost 100 million, which is about 7%. But that figure itself, I tell you, is so huge. You know, our country about 34 million population. Our largest political party only have, I think, 2-3 million members. Yeah. This one, they have 94 million. Okay, of all the 94 million, they classified the what they call the hierarchy of like getting yourself promoted to the final 2,000 plus of delegates. These are very well qualified delegates to represent the whole of the party to make the 5-year plan, the decision, everything of that. So out of this 2,000 over, they are selected from this 94 million, and 59% has a postgraduate degree, on master and PhD beyond it. And the rest, balance of 31%, is at least a graduate BSc or bachelor degree. Then only a very small percentage is like non-university degree, But they are very unique people, which is special people, maybe from rural area or what, but they are very good, rank and file. Then the sector that they are selected from, oh, very diverse, very diverse. Then all these things that the country go through, yeah, they have this, a lot of this subcommittee, everything, they come down to the lowest. Then from there, they gather all the feedback from the whole country, you know, whether you party member or non-party member, they get feedback from you. Because there are a lot that are below the age of, let's say, 18 or whatever. So that big portion of the population, very likely they don't even know what politics is. They won't become party member or something. Then there are some already very old elderly, they also not interested. But the active ones are those that are involved. So what happened is, they will every now and then collect all these problems, like things that they're supposed to look at. The country's reform, how successful they have developed the reform, and what are the feedback from the population and all things. And every year, they have like a few millions of these things to look at on them. Then they start to filter. Then they start to like, I think they form initially is the general subcommittee at the lowest level to gather everything, even classroom and all that. Then once they gather, then they will go and do all the study, you know. They go to the people to get feedback and all those things. Then all these studies are very thorough, you know. Then they brainstorm. After they brainstorm, they actually move on. Then for you to become delegate, you have to pass through a lot of tests on your whatever experience that you go through. Then the age group, the gender thing also, they look into it. So now, so far, I think they have achieved very high self-reform, or like just like Alicia used the word, like your self-practice and as well. You identify your own shortfall, your own limitation, your own lack of focus and all those things. Then it's just like the system there. Yeah, this self-reform really actually develop a lot of what they call very beautiful understanding of the whole focus of the country. Yeah, the whole focus of the country is the People's Republic of China, means the people first. Everything is towards the well-being of the people. Then they not only limit to materialistic progress and all that, no. Now they go into social and many other things, even technological. So it's a very diverse topic. Then all this, like now the world is talking about ESG, environmental, social, governance or whatever. But they have gone into much, much more detail. Even the what they call, we call it what, now they call green technology for environmental and all that. They are moving into it. Then a lot of things that they have actually encountered over the past, especially the last 20 or to 30 years, that evolution that they went through, the growth that China went through, they realized in the past, their growth rate was very high. Most of the time it's about 8%, 9%, sometimes 10%. But then that is not the type of growth that China wants. As they self-reform, they evolve, they come to know they want quality growth. So quality growth means you don't grow at that pace, but your growth is very balanced, qualitative type of growth that actually cover all aspects. Means not only the materialistic economic, but they need to look at the country as a whole. For a country to be successful, to have that type of balanced growth rate and society, the education, they got a lot of things, even defense, then globalization, what is good for the world and all those things. Then how to establish the principle for relationship with other countries and all those things. So their principles are very good. Then the one country, two system and all. A lot of the thing that they actually do, I like to listen to their and the yearly one and the 5-yearly one, the reporting and the progress and all things. So at the rate they are going through all this, the self-reforming and all those things, the extensive and the transformation that China as a country is going through, I tell you, I don't think there is any other government or country in this world that can even keep pace with them. They are moving. And each and every of these 5-year plan, they not only achieve, no, they are ahead, no. Then they actually unravel a lot of more important things. No. It's just like what we call in the cultivation. If you are not a cultivator of the way, you don't walk this bodhisattva way, a lot of things you cannot understand or not. That's how. Even the sainthood way is already very good because it's about virtue, enlightenment, avoiding all evil doing. And you can be very virtuous and very beautiful. And you develop a lot of understanding too. But the bodhisattva way one is so much more in-depth and refined. So what China is going through is like they are going the bodhisattva way, you know, in all this self-reforming and building nation and all things. Whereas the rest are still talking about right and wrong, coming and all those things, blaming here and there, fighting hegemony and all those nonsense. So if you look at it from this point of view and understanding, then you realize there is no way you can catch up with them. Especially the cultivator of the way who go the bodhisattva way, the understanding is way beyond the thought base one. It's like the world is still 90% caught in thought-based cultivation and governing of their people and how they deal with the world. Whereas the other one is awareness-based, cultivating the perfection, the bodhisattva way, through all this understanding that normal people or normal country cannot even have a chance to understand what is going on. But they don't have that type of middle class and that type of education level and that system that is always self-reforming. Through that discussion group and all things, they are doing a lot of things that is so meticulous and extensive. You never understand one. You look at the way China grows. This one is just a small aspect of the understanding. You look at all the various cities and all things. Last time, of course, they tried to open up small area like Shenzhen, opposite Hong Kong and all things. Then later on, the big city, Shanghai. Now, the suburb, second tier city, tier city, they have become very vibrant now. And they have such population and middle class. They have the test beta to test their 4G, 5G, now 6G, you know. Their infrastructure, you just imagine how they develop. And these are only the technical things. There are a lot of other things. Even their space exploration. All this sending all the, what they call the rockets. Or they call it their name for the rocket is what? Sen, don't know what, how. They have their name. And you look at all the other world, once a while only they send one satellite. One space mission. Now you look at the way China is sending every week, I tell you, non-stop, they are exploring. And they progress so fast. So when you have that kind of government with that stability and that materialistic strength, with the funds and all those things, they can do a lot of things. And when they go into all this, you look at their high-speed train, the infrastructure, the way they develop the cities and all those things, the lifestyle and all those things, and how they curb all the IT things, even the AI things. They are doing it with such meticulous understanding and extensiveness, the world can never fathom. That's why they will continue to progress and become very different. And they are very humble. But they really want to provide stability for the world, bring about peace and growth for the global economy and all those things. So this way of approaching the situation is very different from the normal one. So cultivation is the same. What we have gone through as cultivation, we see all this. So what I like about Alicia sharing is it brings about this condition to share all this. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So when I give this type of analogy or example, then you can see. But unless you develop the cultivation until you can understand it, like what some of the Kayamita, especially Alicia, they all have gone through, you can never really develop the full understanding of how beautiful and how marvelous and how, like the Sutta say, how rare and how amazing all this teachings and understandings are. You can never comprehend until you walk this path and you go this way. So this is the part that is really beautiful. Sadhu to you. You can continue your vision.
Sadhu Pradhu. So the actually 可是当下一个 test 来，你 actually 我也很感恩这个所谓的 test 给我去 go through， 跟我自己看到更深一层的我所谓的
yeah.
you know，
嗯
，so 然后就我就问我自己，你所发的菩提心， 所谓的菩提心。
yeah.
到底是怎样？到底你在 怎样的去 cultivate？ 到我在想起这个所谓的菩提心，我们是其实我们所发的愿是为度众生而发的，所以我们所做的一切，我们应该用大悲心去更加体谅众生的苦。所以，suddenly他就是因为weekend 的关系，所以我就去了Karak，so。 在 Karak， 我就在我的 farm 在做我的工作，做完后，然后我就去冲凉。当我冲完的时候，我抬头一看，那个天花板，一看那个天花板的就，然后我就笑，因为我看到天花板的是个洞，然后我心里明白。 我笑是因为我明白，一切唯心造，因为它是那个一看上去哦，对，the
creation start with it，the creation start with
it，就是你的里面好像一面镜子这样，一个 understanding 给你，然后我就 full of joy， 一直 like， 然后一切唯心造就明白，当下我就没有在想其他的 ，brother， 然后我就照 continue， because we 我们在 Orchard 那边 stay 一个 night 嘛，so next day 回来我也在忙，然后拜一我再 reflect 回去那个经过。 其实那个天花板的四个洞啊，是因为漏水，它都在那边，本来是在那边。
对对对。
但是我看了很多次都看没有东西。
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
但是这个 condition 一 manifest 哦，它就是像一面镜子哦。
Yeah.
就来你的 awareness aware 到
yeah, yeah, yeah.
那个 creation 这样不是？
对对对。
就好像。你明白到所谓的一切为心造，
yeah,
是因为从里面这样 manifest 出
来，
对它的
造成的
一个，对我来讲是一个很
profound
的
awakening，
yes,
it's a very profound
thing。所以我就借着这个机会跟大家分享，感恩阿弥陀佛。
Let us rejoice that sadhu sadhu sadhu. This is very beautiful.Sharing and experiences, because when you cultivate, as you develop more and more stability or understanding and transformation, then at any one time, whatever you are doing in the midst of life or whatever, it can just arise and manifest. Like she said, she just went to the farm and stay overnight. Then as she was working on the farm, and she decided it's time to take a bath.Take a bath. And within that, just a normal bath, what can happen? But because of the awareness nature, when she looked up at the ceiling, there is this four hole which last time not apparent, then now become very apparent. This is a source of leak. And also when the mind immediately sees something, then she understands what the Mahayana teaching is all about.Like the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. But the Mahayana, through Mandarin, only got one sentence. 一切一切唯心造. And this is the most profound. I remember when I first listened to Xuan Hua, he always used this phrase, 一切一切唯心造. So straight away, my nature, like from the past, I have developed the understanding.And I realized that statement was so beautiful. It's like the Buddha mentioned on the Theta, everything arises from the mind. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. So these are the Pali words that they develop from the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. That's why they use the word mano and other things.So, but Mahayana, they summarize it into a very beautiful sentence. Everything that arises, mind make a day. Understand? Wei xing zao, xing zao chen de. So, mind make a day. So, what the Buddha actually expressed is also very beautiful. It's all about this. But you need.Like the word Sankara, you need a lot of English word to explain Sankara. That's why you look at Theravada. Sankara, they say, mental activity is also Sankara. Then mental state is also Sankara. Mental volition is also Sankara. Then mental formation is also Sankara. So they have to use a lot of word. So like the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, we say,He not only said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. But when you explain it this way, it's like a lot of words, but the essence is not there, understand? In fact, a more profound way is, mind make adi, means whatever that arises,一切一切唯心造 they are created by the mind. Mind make a day. So that meaning is very penetrative and very profound. Then when you have developed the cultivation and realize that, then you realize what the Buddha say is precisely what Dhamma is, what cultivation is. Like you hit the nail on the head, straight away, zoom, you go in.When you understand that, you understand all the mind. Because the creative aspect of mind is the mundane mind, understand? When the mundane mind arises, all things arise. All of words idea, concept, reality, they manifest. That everything that the existential world can come up with, they are actually from the mundane mind. But that mundane mind is the creative aspect for existence, for living. But there is a nature that is behind this creation. And that one is the unconditioned. That one needs to be realized. That one is not something that is like having condition to keep on arising, manifesting, creating and all things, and like trigger off all the karmic process, delusion, wrong view, everything that entangle the living being. That's how the mundane mind actually get itself entangled and fall. So that process, that manifestation is just like our existential world. The phenomenal world of monk, everywhere is full of monk. That's why we have all these words that has been coined and created. Even the word education, from education, you break into so many branches of study. You have engineering, technical, medicine, and all things. And you also have social science, then political science, and religious study, comparative religion, and many more. Now, they got even this AI, IT, then the what they call digital technology, means that digital technology is not only limited to digital things. You can apply to marketing, you can apply to big data. So all this, they actually, from one, it become many, you know. That's why just now what the sutta is trying to explain to you is the Buddha has realized the 10 suchness, understand? Then within the 10 Dhamma rhyme, each and every Dhamma rhyme also have the 10 suchness. You realize? Then from there, it expands more. So when it comes to the world of monk, when it comes to creation by the mundane mind, it's the same. Understand? The mind-right creation, unending one. And you can actually study all this one. You know, the mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, has this ability to create subjects, science, and all those things, arts or whatever, for you to dwell on and all those things. Then there is one fundamental awareness nature which is behind the arising of all this. And that one you need to meditate, you need to silence, you need to return. Then realize the true nature. And then only you can understand the whole creation process. That's why Dhamma study is not one thing or what you think. It is really profound, wonderful, exactly like this wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. That's why the title, the wonderful Dhamma, is really wonderful. It is so wonderful and so amazing, so profound, and such teaching is so rare, so difficult to come by, and so difficult to comprehend and understand. And these words are not really words, no. They really point towards that deep meaning, because this way is so profound, so in-depth, and so extensive. That's why I always say Buddhism is not a normal type of teaching. It's not a way of life. It's not a philosophy. It's a complete totality of understanding back to the source, understand? So all this, nobody can understand unless you go into the cultivation yourself and dwell into all this. That's why from what has been shared by Alicia, it brings forth the condition for such sharing to be possible. And it so happened the timing today, we study this aspect of the teaching of the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta about the 10 suchness. If it's not this topic, I cannot have the causes and conditions to explain, but because it is this topic, from what she go through, I can expand it and explain to you so that it can prepare, cultivate the way to understand all this. And the analogy and example I give today, I tell you, is very, very important and useful for cultivator of the way in maybe years to come. Well, this one also tie in with the timing. The 10, what they call, the 20th five-year plan of the Communist Party of China. They just had it, I think, beginning of the week. I think Sunday they started. Then they have the summary. Then they have all the global news. Means all the reporters, journalists, all they can go there and ask questions from all over the world, and they take questions. Wow, the way they answer is so beautiful. Yes, the world is starting to pay attention to what China do, their fire plan, I would say, and what have they achieved. So the 18-19 and the 20th one is now. The 18-19, they actually did so much. And 18-19 fire plan is the great transformation, the millennium one after the year 2010. That one really fantastic. And they have gone into it with such depth. That's why if you don't follow all this, you can never understand. That's why I can just listen. And it's so beautiful. Every other speech. And the way they cover under CGTN. The CGTN is a very good network. Where it's English. The translation, there and then he speak. There and then the interpreter translate English. And very accurate. Very accurate. And at first I thought it was recorded, but no. No, because from the journalist, global journalist question, you know it's not recorded. Everything is spontaneous. There and then they are there and then the interpreter was very good. English also very good. There and then he interpreted the question. Journalist from where and what. Some of this is from Russia, all those things. The English, I also cannot understand. She can understand. Then the way that chairperson who actually reply to all those questions, they were very good. And the time is like very concise and to the point. Then as he explained a bit, the interpreter will translate English. Then he continued to explain. Then he translated English. Then he had so beautiful. You should see. Then you know what reality is. What have a developed country like China gone through and how much work they have done. How extensive their, what they call, self-reforming policy and evolution. That's a lot of the thing they do, you cannot understand. You may think the zero COVID and all those things is like delaying them and giving them problem, and a lot of people like cannot understand why is China forcing themselves through zero COVID policy, and a lot of the Western world cannot understand. They say this is madness. This is like holding back your own progress and causing a lot of suffering and misery to your own people. No, the people of China, they know. And the way he replied and he explained is very good. He said, do you know, China gives very important emphasis on human life. Human life. China has a big old age population. Yeah. Because now they prosper, they live longer. And also, he said, China cannot afford to take that risk. Because this type of virus thing, especially COVID-19, if it spread, get out of hand, the health facility of China cannot cope. But they have adjusted so well within their domestic economy. Luckily, they prepared for it for the last 2-5 year plan, 10 year plan. That's why they are all these apps and all those things, like payment system. They were ahead of the world. That's why with the lock-in and all those things, they can do so much things so far, the testing, everything. I tell you, the pace at which they control things and attend to things, nobody can actually come near them. And with this type of meticulous precision and understanding and the way they work, the world cannot actually mesh up with them. So a lot of these things, you have to listen with a understanding, with the open mind, that you will see what people has developed and progressed into. A lot of things, actually, the world still doesn't understand. It is like in the past, there are one or two people who can understand. They say China is a sleeping giant. And now this giant not only wake up, has become very smart, very intellectual, very full of understanding and capability. It has become very different. Yeah. And this is the one, the moment it become like that, nobody can stop one, actually. Nobody can stop one. Because a lot of things are happening inside the country. Mm. So I think today's sharing is very good. Huh? Let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the closing puja. Huh? We will share merits and transfer merit. And we do our usual closing puja. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo sadkalena sasa sampati hetu ca Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end our today's sharing. Sadhu.